Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing on. We're in Acts 26. And Paul is bringing forth his defense. And we saw the first few verses in the previous episode. He had told King Agrippa, you know, I consider myself to be blessed that I'm able to make my defense before you because I know, Agrippa, that you're an expert in all the customs of the Jews and also in all the controversial issues of the Jew. That's no small thing right there. Paul knew that. He was aware of it. He proclaimed that before him. And he actually puts Agrippa in a good way and in the negative way, sort of on the spot right here. He's saying, I know you know about this stuff. And he's letting everybody there know that he knows that King Agrippa knows. He's sort of outing Agrippa in his knowledge of Judaism. So Paul says, hey, so I ask that you, he's actually begging, beg you listen to me patiently. And then he started, he says, you know, all the Jews know me. They know me from my youth. They know that I spent my upbringing in Jerusalem. I was born over here, but I'm of my own nation in Jerusalem. They know how I was raised. They know that I was a Pharisee of Pharisees according to the strictest sect of the religion. Now in verse 6, Paul continues, and he says this, and now I am standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. Let me stop in the middle of the sentence. Again, it's the end of the verse, right? He's letting them know from the get-go, this is the reason that I'm standing here before you. This is the reason that I'm being tried. I'm being tried for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, our forefathers. How do I know his forefathers? Well, the next part in the sentence in just a moment. But think about this. He says, I'm standing trial for the hope of the promise. What was the promise? The promise was that of Messiah, of one to come, and that there was hope in this promise. And this promise was made by God to our forefathers. That's the reason I'm on trial. I'm on trial for this hope that is carried on through the hundreds, thousands of years of our people. Now watch what he says in the next part of the sentence in verse 7. The promise to which our 12 tribes hope to attain as they earnestly serve God night and day. And for this hope, O King, I am being accused by Jews. So he brings in the totality of the nation of Israel, the promise that was given to these 12 tribes, the hope that they had hoped to attain to. What was that hope? The hope to attain to Messiah. That Messiah would come. The hope even beyond that, the hope of eternal life with God in and through the one who would save and redeem. And he says this, for this hope, O King, I'm being accused by the Jews. So the very Jews that have received throughout their lives this hope, this desire of one, he says, it is for this hope that I'm being accused by the Jews. This was a theological bomb that he dropped right here, okay? Because he's letting know the Jews are accusing me of something, and this something that they're accusing me of, they're using against me, is the very hope. So what's the ultimate part of this hope? Verse 8. Why is it considered incredible among you if God does raise the dead? The hope is the resurrection. The resurrection that we will be even as Christ is, even as the Messiah would be from the Old Testament perspective, point of view, yet to come. From our point of view, he's already come, but he's yet to come. He asked him a question. Why is it considered incredible if God does raise the dead? In other words, is it impossible for God to do anything? No, it's not impossible. Is it possible for God to do all things? Yes, it is possible for God to do all things. So why is it considered to be impossible? So he's letting him know what the real argument is, what the accusation is, what they are bringing against him. And it has to do with resurrection. being raised from the dead. This is something I think that we need to give far greater attention to than we do. And you see it in Paul's writings. And if you ask somebody, they go, oh, yeah, yeah, well, I believe in the resurrection. Yeah, I'm a believer. I believe in that. But you know what? We don't rest in it. We don't trust in it. We don't realize that the resurrection of the dead is the power of God unto salvation. And the fact that Jesus is the firstborn, the first fruit of the resurrection from the dead. That is the power. When people are talking to us about other religions, talking to us about other things, other belief systems, whatever it may be, every one of their founders are dead, folks. Every thought, every belief, but not the Lord Jesus. He is alive, raised from the dead. That is the bottom line, and Paul goes straight to it here. And I think we would do well to pay attention to this. Verse 9, he says this, so then, I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. So he's going back and he's recounting what he did. And that little phrase, so then, in light of all this, okay? In light of the fact that I am of these people that have the hope of the promise made by God, that I am a Pharisee. He describes himself much later on as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, the strictest set here, right? Because of this, I thought that I had to do hostile things to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And verse 10, he says, and this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. So this is one of these points of clarification that we see from what we've seen in Acts so far. We see accounts of various things, but we wonder what happened. Well, the more that Paul speaks before these various tribunals and trials and things, the more details we get about stuff. So Paul, you know, we'll say, well, Paul came and he put people to death. Okay, well, that's true, but it wasn't like he was arresting them, then killing them. No, he was arresting them, bringing them back to Jerusalem. They were being put on trial, apparently, because what does he say right here? That I've cast my vote against them. They were voting. There were religious leaders that were voting on whether to put somebody to death if they believed that Jesus was Messiah. And Paul said, I did that. He said, I locked up these saints in prison. And I did this not on my own volition, on my own authority. It's the chief priest that gave me the authority to do this. So why is Paul sharing all this? Why is he saying this? Well, he's letting King Agrippa and Festus and all the powers that be right there know that he used to work hand in glove with those who are now accusing him. Okay? That he was the point man. That he's the one that went out and rounded up these folks that brought them back by the authority of the chief priest. Because, you know, the chief priest, the religion, is the ultimate powers that be. They're always going to keep a certain degree of plausible deniability. They're always going to keep a little distance between the bloodiness of things. We see it today. Same exact type of thing, okay? And he said, I'm the one that did this, but I did it by the authority of these folks. You know what? When they voted to kill the folks, I voted with them. Now, verse 11. And as I punished them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being furiously enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even in foreign cities. So Paul's telling them how he felt. He said, I went from synagogue to synagogue. I punished them. I tried to force them to recant the Lord Jesus Christ, to blaspheme. We see the detail of all that Paul did before when he was Saul, you know, before he was saved. And he said, I was furiously enraged at him. That lets you know what some things that he'd said earlier. I know where you're coming from. He knew where these Jewish leaders were coming from because he had experienced that. He said, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities, literally meaning outlying cities within the land. I chased them down. He's letting them know what he did. But something happened. But guess what? Our time's up. We'll have to look at it the next time, okay? Again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your patience, and I'll see y'all then.